Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
All right, here we go. Hour two on this Thursday morning, January 9th. And a quick reminder that in the checking here, the 8 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with the Director of Charitable Giving for the Saints and Pelicans. They got some great looking T-shirts that are out with the Saints and Pelicans logo that'll help in the efforts to make it better for the victims and families of the Bourbon Street terror attack. New Orleans is indeed a caring community. Well, we always have each other's back. And another way that you can help the victims of the Bourbon Street terror attack and their families is the Greater New Orleans Foundation. It's the New Orleans New Year's Day Tragedy Fund. Monies raised will assist the families of the innocent victims and those who are seriously injured or impacted by the tragedy. You can donate now by going to gnof.org. We come back, we're going to talk to Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee of 100. What's the forecast for Louisiana's economy in 2025? Then we'll check in with the Leah Long, National Federation of Independent Businesses, about the outlook for small businesses here in Louisiana. So a lot coming up. The business of Louisiana is business and fun. We'll be back, WWL. Cold again today. Then it warms up tomorrow, and it gets rainy tomorrow. 90% chance for showers, maybe some street flooding. They don't know. But I'm sure if the city thinks that neutral ground parking will be allowed, they will allow it. No word on that yet. Right now it's 33 degrees, and it's going to be a little bit warmer than it was yesterday with highs of 59-ish, I think it is, and that's going to be later on today toward the end of the day. Then tomorrow, highs in the 60s with that 90% chance for showers. Then we drop to highs in the 40s on Saturday, and then we don't get out of the 50s for the foreseeable future, at least through next Friday. Adam Knapp joins us now, CEO of the Committee for 100, talk about Louisiana's economy in 2025. Good morning, Adam. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Thanks for taking the time. Tell people that don't know what the Committee for 100 is, please. 100.
Sure. It's a group of executives, not a nonpartisan group across the state, about 150 executives who want to work together on big state public policy issues. They are mostly engaged in advocating for economic development for Louisiana. And it's a great group. It's been around for about 30 years, very involved at the state capitol.
So when it comes to 2024, January 2024, seemingly a long time ago, but how do you review a year? Is it like, what have you done for me lately? Do you look at trends, Adam?
Yeah, so the biggest thing we've been looking at in the data, what we released and happy to share with anybody that wants to dig into it, is a kind of a summary of where the economy is in at the end of the year, so that folks have a set of data on facts across the state. We also wanted to understand the differences from north to south. And so what you got in here is an overall picture of Louisiana for employment, what jobs have been open this year, who's been posting jobs and what different industries, what's been going up, what's been going down, and also to look at wages to understand how we're doing compared to other states. Are we going up? Are we going down? What we found is surprising. There's a big difference between North Louisiana and South Louisiana in terms of wage growth and then compared to other states.
Yeah, it's interesting to hear you say that, because recently I spent some time in North Louisiana. It's amazing how different that part of the state is. What are the differences that you found, Adam, economically, in addition to the differences I perceived?
You perceive as you kind of drive and experience it, yeah. So the amazing thing was wage growth has been much faster in North Louisiana. We actually have a chart in the report that shows that it grew by an average between Shreveport, Bossier, Monroe, and Alexandria around 30%, whereas on the I-10 corridor, it grew by about 10%. And the big reason for that, which is actually, I think, promising, is that they had actually started from a lower position. And now looks like wages during the COVID period have kind of caught up across the state, where they're pretty similar now in almost every major market. But they had a longer way to go, and they've come a long way to get closer to the rest of the state.
Yeah, it seems like when you go to northern Louisiana, and be it Ruston or Shreveport or Monroe, those areas really seem a lot more and I got to choose my words carefully here. I hate to say Texas-like, but more metropolitan and more the rest of the country developed than southern Louisiana. Does that make any sense to you?
No, it doesn't. I appreciate you asking. No, I think it's 4.5 hours away from tip to tip. If you drive from Shreveport to New Orleans, then you get down to the boot. It's a big difference. And one of the things that I talk about all the time when we drive across the state is we're trying to shrink their state through relationships, because it's hard for somebody up in North Louisiana to really get to know leaders in South Louisiana. And so what we found is there's also a big difference in the economies. Like, to your point, the proximity to Dallas and Fort Worth has a lot to do with what's driving, the economy in Shreveport-Bossier. And they're thinking about Arkansas is much different than how we think about the economy of Arkansas down in South Louisiana, and what the effect is on drawing talent, bringing in people, bringing in companies. It's just so fascinating in how it's different. But you find also, to your question, is that there's a lot in common between the economies. There still is a love for crawfish. There's still a love for Mardi Gras. It's so similar. We're all in the same state and we're all in it together.
It's hard to verbalize it, Adam, but it's a completely different feel. You don't feel, I guess, the way the cities are run, the way the towns are laid out, the road maintenance and everything else, the cleanliness. I hate to say it, but you don't feel like you're in Louisiana. Is that terrible?
Yeah, you're right. It is, and I think there are definitely uniquenesses. I find that, frankly, between Baton Rouge and Lafayette too. Mm-hmm. There's a different cultural feel for how people view civic life, I don't know if the right phrase for it, but kind of the sense of energy. But I think that also plays out in what you see in the entrepreneurism of the communities. Just some really amazing companies in every part of the state that, folks in other parts of the state may have never heard of, but are really dynamic leaders of the economy.
And the other thought I had was, when it comes to attracting outside investment, are outside investors looking more for something that more resembles the southeastern Louisiana as we know it, or something that more resembles where they might be located now, which would be more like northern Louisiana, right?
No, I think it is not really related to what the kind of sense of the community is. It's really about the population, workforce, talent, costs, land availability, ability to get your products to market. We talk about things like broadband as a hindrance in the past, if you didn't have the access. Now that's been really aggressively underway to try to address that across the state to catch everybody up from a data standpoint. But it's really about the talent and the infrastructure and the cost to do business that has a massive factor. And really the willingness of the community to be open to kind of projects and investment and outside participation. And we've seen that across the state. There's an enthusiasm for economic growth right now. The response in Monroe to Meta's investment has been incredibly exciting. But, there's major investments that are happening, it feels like, in almost every metro right now that folks are coming in.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to call myself out on this, but I would advise people, because I was ignorant before, to drive around Louisiana and spend some time in the northern parts, in Ruston and in Shreveport and Monroe and those types of areas, Lafayette, even go west and see what's going on there to get a feel for what's happening in the state. We'll take a break, come back, find out where the jobs are growing. Adam Knapp, our guest, CEO for the Committee of 100. We're talking about the forecast for Louisiana's economy in 2025. How are things looking and what needs to happen to make the economy grow? We'll also talk about where are the jobs and where's the growth when we return. 720, time for traffic now, WWL. 725, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100, about the forecast for Louisiana's economy in 2025. So overall, to look at this report and kind of give us an executive summary of it, Adam, you would say the forecast is bright, optimistic for 2025?
It's good. I think it's something that we would like to see better. I'd say it's not as bad as I've seen in the past on outcomes, but it's definitely one that is on the mend, but it needs to be stronger. We grew by about 10,000 jobs through October. It looks like we'll probably get close to 20,000 jobs when they have the full end of the year numbers in for how December turned out, which would put us about over 1% growth. That's pretty good. It's just, I think you want to see it growing fast in every metro area to try to catch up from what COVID did to us.
And what are the fastest growing areas again? First of all, geographic, and then we'll talk about jobs.
Yeah, so we've seen pretty steady growth in the Baton Rouge metro area. Lafayette has had a pickup, and Lake Charles has had a pickup. And it's been kind of roughly balanced across the rest of the state. The things that have been growing in terms of sectors, that's your question, we've seen over the last year, just healthcare continues this tear of growth. It's been incredibly strong. You saw a lot of postings and openings in home health and registered nurses, RNs. We also saw a lot of hiring in just general operation, cooks, restaurant workers, laborers, even software developers that saw a lot of growth over the last year. And then some really funny, things that we have funny to me because it was just a surprising amount of a surprising percentage increases, like MRI techs grew really fast. Tax preparation grew really fast in terms of the number of more job postings that grew last year. And they actually grew faster than those that declined, for what it's worth. A lot more increase in postings and openings than we saw in those that were going down. So that's a good sign for the economy.
How does that compare and contrast with national trends, Adam?
I think we've seen in general that the economy here has been much more steady, as you've seen kind of ups and downs in different metro markets. The tech sector took a beating on the West Coast and even in Austin. We've seen a pretty steady economy here across almost every sector of the economy, especially what energy has done, but even in tech in Louisiana. So it's a good position to be in where there's steady, ongoing growth. The big challenge I think we all continue to talk about is just the need to try to fill these positions, and why I think there's such a focus on education and workforce in Louisiana is we have a lot more open positions than we have workers available for those positions. And so there's a lot of outreach efforts to try to get more folks into the economy.
Looking beyond 2025, let me take a step back because I look at the clock and I realize we're running out of time here. I see that insurance is mentioned in the report, auto insurance. I don't know if homeowners insurance was included as well. Was this just a snapshot, or did the report take into account the high cost of insurance on business development and expansion in Louisiana?
Well, it comes up so much in debates. We all feel it at home. We feel it at our companies. So we wanted to just put out there, what's the data look like on auto insurance rates? And so we included a chart to try to look at this as an economic drag on the economy. And what it showed was auto insurance rates have been about $500 on average higher than most states in the South. And if you look past, we actually included data looking back 5 years. It's been steady at that place above the rest of the South. The Southern average is around $1,200. In 2022 data, we're at about $1,700. And that's been the big issue that I think we've been all talking about, is what's Louis going to do to try to drive that number down?
Thank you. I appreciate your time and your insight, Adam. If somebody wants to go and see this report, how do they do it?
Visit us at our website at c100la.org.
Very interesting report. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Adam Knapp, CEO.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. CEO of the Committee for 100. We'll talk to him again sometime this year, I'm sure. When we come back, we'll talk to Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, about the outlook for small businesses here in Louisiana. And I would ask you to text me on the Okunard Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. If you have traveled to northern Louisiana, spent some time there as of late, compare and contrast this part of the state with that part of the state. What's better? What's not as good? What do you prefer? And more. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, 7:30, time for WWL First News. For that, we go to Ian Ozan. Matriculating our way through a chilly Thursday morning here on WWL. We're going to take a break. We come back. We have already talked to Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100, about Louisiana's forecast for Louisiana economy in 2025. We'll come back. We'll talk to Leah Long, director of Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, to talk about the outlook for small businesses here in Louisiana. And I would ask you, if you own a small business, what are the things you are most optimistic about heading into 2025? And what are the things you are most pessimistic about at 2025? You can text your thoughts into me at 504-260-1870. It's the Okunard Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. 743, 17 till 8, Tommy Tucker on this chilly Thursday morning, January 9th. Rain in the forecast for tomorrow, then it cools off again. I asked you to text in at 504-260-1870 about what are you optimistic about, what are you pessimistic about going into the new year if you're a small business owner. And, boy, I got a bunch of texts, and they all have one thing in common, and that is the word insurance. With that, we welcome in Leah Long, Director of Louisiana Chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. Happy New Year. How you doing?
Yeah, Happy New Year. It's cold.
Yeah.
I wish it would be warmer.
Well, yeah, but it's, look, is it Leah or Leah? I always mess that up.
It's Leah.
Leah.
It's Leah.
Call me back in July. And let me know if you still feel that way, because I'll bet you'll be pining for a day like today. I'm just saying.
That is true. If I could have, like, you know, 60s all year round, I would be happy there.
While we're being honest, just between us girls, if after Christmas, quite frankly, if it's not cold by Christmas, let's just go to 70. I'm good with that. Sunny and 70 would be fine.
Yeah.
Move on.
Let's get over it.
But Christmas, I want it cold for Christmas, but if not, let's go ahead and just make it nice. Let's talk about making it nice for small businesses in Louisiana. What are you hearing from the membership of the National Federation of Independent Businesses about the outlook for 2025?
Yeah, so it looks promising. You know, that's kind of what we're gathering right now, is that there's inflation issues and labor issues are being addressed, you know, whether it's kind of national level or in individual states. That's being addressed, and the confidence in the economy continues to surge. You know, I think before Christmas I was on and I was saying, you know, sales have went up for small business owners. You know, the holiday season is kind of the kickoff of that. And, you know, they felt very optimistic. And I know I'm on here quite a bit talking about optimism level every month and that kind of thing, but that'll come out next week about being able to say kind of like the last trends of December. But for right now, everything, you know, on this level is looking optimistic for 2025, which, you know, I think you and I talked about the new administration. And so I think small business owners are hopeful that the new administration are going to make business friendly policies. And I think that's something we're all looking forward to.
When what did Christmas or December, do you know yet? How did it turn out?
Yeah, we don't have those numbers quite yet. They'll be out in the next few weeks about that. But I knew sales were higher this year than they were in the previous years. And so that's a good thing for small business because, you know, they kind of rely on holiday season. So I think that's kind of helped the optimism for this next year, too. You know, they had a good sales season and then they rolled into the new year with new optimism and, you know, being happy about what 2025 looks like, except for the insurance crisis.
Yeah. I asked people to text in. You heard me say that, and that's a big concern. That's not going to change. And we're going to have the insurance commissioner on later on, Tim Temple, at about 8:15. Do you see anything that's going to change? What are you hearing from your members, and how big of a challenge is that to them? And do they expect anything to change anytime soon?
Yeah, that is probably outside of, you know, we dealt with inflation and labor issues, and, you know, we talked about that all year in 2024, but insurance was still there. I know we talked about taxes, still there. Insurance was still a big issue, and it still is now. I think now that's probably one of their biggest issues, and, you know, that adds, the cost of insurance adds into the cost of doing business for these small businesses, and the overhead is just so high that, you know, sometimes depending what your premium is, that puts a huge red mark in your balance at the end of the year. And so, you know, and that goes into not just, you know, residential insurance, business insurance, but, you know, health insurance that they try to offer their employees too. So on an insurance level, all of it, it's just outrageously expensive. And so, you know, I know the commissioner has talked about really wanting to do something this session and continue to do stuff. And I think someone said that, you know, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're hopeful, you know, we can get some things done in the legislature. And then the things that we did this last year to hopefully drive competition up in the state and lower the prices, because these small business owners, they barely can afford to do the things that they need to do anyways. And then when you add that on top of it, it's even more.
What about workers and qualified workforce?
Yeah, so we've been talking about addressing that, and like the qualified workforce, it's still an issue, but it's getting better. And I know that's a big push that LAD is doing, and, you know, workforce development in the state. I know Governor Landry's also pushed that too. And so I think, you know, we're moving in the right direction on that, being able to continue to get a skilled work set workforce environment for these business owners.
What about numbers with people going out of business and new business startups? What did 2024 look like, and what do you anticipate in 2025 to look like?
I don't have that exact number on that, but I think I maybe on the radio with you a year ago, I was talking about there's never a good time to open a business. You just got to do it, and especially a small business, because you're pretty much a one man, one woman figuring it out and moving forward. But, you know, I know last year was a tough year for small business owners, but they've continued to work through it. And, you know, we're hopeful that with everything in 2025, that if you have an opportunity to expand your small business, maybe franchise your small business or open up a new business, that we're hopeful they'll do that.
You say there's never a good time to do it. What are some of the, for people that are contemplating starting their own business in 2025, what are some of the common things that they should do and some of the common mistakes that they make?
Yeah, so they should always, you know, you need to check out your region, you know, see what your product is, make sure it's available. And I think you just, you know, competition is a huge thing between small business, because you're not only competing with other businesses, but you're also competing with big box stores. So, and unfortunately, you know, we want everyone to go shop small business. That's the idea, because that's the American dream. You open up your business and you run it and thrive and that kind of thing. So I think you just need to check with your local kind of community, see what the need is for that. And, you know, there's a lot of questions for SBA loans, that kind of stuff. And there's several banks that can help you with that. And so just making sure that you're kind of checking off your P's and Q's and going through that process. Because a lot of the time, small business owners don't have all the resources available as a big company would have, and they don't know where to look. So I always say, if you have questions, contact me, contact the SBA department, and maybe we can help get you in the right direction.
Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We'll come back 7:50, talking to our friend Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses, who doesn't like the cold weather. And I understand that. I get it. We'll be back in a flash. Traffic now, WWL. 7:54, 6 till 8. Couple of minutes left with Leah Long, director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I get a text, Leah, from somebody saying they're thinking about starting their own business, going back to what we were talking about earlier. And they were wondering about, how do you go beyond thinking it's going to be a good idea to actually putting some kind of research into determining whether or not the business is viable or not?
Yeah, I think you ask, you know, other people that may be in a similar business, maybe not in your region, but, you know, contact your local chamber, contact, you know, like I said, the SBA people. And I know there's a lot of startup companies for the North Shore. I live on the North Shore. Mm-hmm. So St. Tammany Corp, they always do stuff for businesses here, and they have a great marketing department that can help you. So there's different places like that. I know ULL has something in Lafayette that you can go to. Southeastern does, and Hammond. There's a lot of resources out there. And if you kind of can start at your local colleges too, if you do have questions, usually they have an SBA department and, you know, resources that you can use too.
Somebody else texted in and wants to know about, is there any help for small business owners as it relates to taxes as offered by the National Federation of Independent Businesses, Louisiana chapter?
No, we have a lot of resources. You know, if you have issues, you know, you need to be put in the right contact with someone, let us know. But, you know, a big thing, which we talked about, I think everyone's excited about the tax reform that we did in the state. So if you're a small business and you file as, you know, personal or LLC, your personal income tax rate is now down to 3%. So that's a big help for everybody. That's what I always love. I'd love to say that's probably the biggest help of all. So, you know, if they do have issues, maybe, you know, just reach out and we can put them in the right direction to the right person to contact.
Somebody else texted and wants to know if you have any suggestions as to what would be a field or a business area that would be particularly prone to success in 2025.
I guess there's a lot of ideas that you could go to. Currently, I would love someone to, like, make heated jackets that I can buy locally that I don't have to go somewhere. Heated jackets, heated pants. all of that. You know, there's being a small business owner, it's, you know, if you are a small business owner, you have a passion for doing something, whether if that's, you know, photographers, you know, if you have a local renovation, if you do construction, if you have a restaurant, a retail shop, you have a passion for doing that. And so I think if you do have an idea and you do have a passion, run with it. Because if you do talk to a small business owner, yeah, it's tough. And at the end of the day, it's your name on that check that's making sure that the business is running, but you're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for a reason, and you get enjoyment out of doing that. Being your own boss and being able to provide for your employees and their families is something I think worthwhile as being a small business owner.
Thank you, Leah. Any final thoughts?
No, that's it.
I hope you have a great 2025.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah Long. That she is the CEO, director of Louisiana Chapter for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. We got a big 8 o'clock hour coming up. We're going to kick it off with Brian Adams, Louisiana State Fire Marshal, and he'll talk about heating and fire safety. You know it's going to happen, and it's unfortunate. 6 people dying in 3 separate fires this week. Every time it turns cold, we try to get the message out, and we try to talk about it, and inevitably, people die with space heaters and other issues as it relates to the cold. We'll talk with Tim Temple, Louisiana Insurance Commissioner, about making sure you're insurance ready in case your property suffers any damage from this winter weather. Now we'll talk with Brittany Witzel, Director of Charitable Giving for the Saints and Pelicans. They got some shirts that are out that are just awesome with the Saints logo and the Pelicans logo with NOLA on them that'll benefit the victims of the terror attack and show your support for the community. I've been looking into the fires in California and what is the truth behind the shortage of water and what isn't, and it's interesting that people are choosing to go to their political sidelines and not bother to delve into the truth. I'm looking at a story from Time magazine here about dry fire hydrants. The LA Department of Water and Power was pumping water from aqueducts and groundwater into the system, but the demand was so high it wasn't enough to refill 3 1 million gallon tanks in Pacific Palisades. And some people have taken to social media to start blaming all types of different things. The Department of Water and Power said that 3 million gallons of water were available when a Palisades fire started, but the demand was 4 times greater than they've ever seen in the system. They say hydrants are designed for fighting fires at 1 or 2 houses at a time, not hundreds. So before I think you rush to judgment and start blaming this or that or even expanding the net to other things, maybe you can take a breath and find out what the truth is and maybe have some prayers for the people that are caught up in these horrible fires and do realize that one of the reasons behind it is that they had, I think I heard, 1/10 of an inch of rain since March. So you got to look at the conditions first, right? And again, as a contractor tells you, when you have any project underway, they can do anything you want. If you got the money, you can prepare for any circumstance. And I'll say the same applies to the Bourbon Street attack. You can do anything you want to make anything perfectly safe and prepare for every eventuality. It's going to be expensive, and you got to be willing to pay for it beforehand, not criticize it after the fact. Just a couple of thoughts for you. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL.